So he says, Imam Muhasibi, he says in the text, he says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ كُلْ عَقْلًا لَا يَصْحَبُهُ ثَلَاثَةُ أَشْيَاءَ فَهُوَ عَقْلٌ مَكْتَعُ. You should know that every intellect that's not accompanied by three things is a treacherous, deceiving intellect.
إِثَارُ الطَّاعَةِ عَلَى الْمَعْصِيَةِ.
If it doesn't prefer obedience to sin, then it's a treacherous intellect. And some people use their intellect for wickedness. So that's a treacherous intellect that's going to lead to the ruination of a person. So the intellect that's facilitating is one that prefers obedience over rebellion.
وَإِثَارُ الْعِلْمِ عَلَى الْجَهْلِ.
And it prefers knowledge over ignorance. Some people revel and delight in being ignorant. So as they say, where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. But this is an intellect that leads you to that conclusion is a treacherous intellect, because it's betraying you and working against your final good.
وَإِثَارُ الدِّينِ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا.
And the facilitating intellect prefers the religion over the worldly affairs. And so the intellect that prefers the dunya over the religious affairs is a treacherous intellect.
وَكُلَ عِلْمٍ لَا يَصْحَبُهُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَشْيَاءَ فَهُوَ مَزِيدٌ فِي الْحُجَّةِ.
And every knowledge that's not accompanied by three things, it increases the proof against you. You're only establishing the proof against yourself with that particular knowledge.
كَفُّ الْأَذَى بِقَطْعِ الرَّبَّةِ.
That the knowledge leads you to pull back from harming people by cutting off your longings for that which they have. And the second thing, وَوُجُودُ الْعَمَلِ بِالْخَشْيَةِ. And that if it doesn't bring about the existence of humility in what you're doing, then this is a knowledge that is establishing a proof, helping to establish a proof against you.
وَبَذْلُ الْإِنْصَافِ بِالتَّبَاذُلِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ.
And being just by engaging in give and take and mercy. And this is what we need in our marriages. One of the great shames of our contemporary situation is that the hellacious marital situation amongst the non-Muslims is coming into our communities. And the divorces, the friction, the tension, the strife, and all of these things. And one reason for that is a lack of give and take. At-tabadhul is give and take, to exert yourself and then to allow other people to exert their opinion and to assert themselves. So there has to be a give and take. And mercy, there has to be mercy. And we should never lose sight of this.
وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مَا تَزَيَّنَ أَحَدٌ بِزِينَةٍ كَالْعَقْلِ.
And you should know that no one has adorned himself with an adornment more beautiful than the intellect. Because as we mentioned, the intellect, this is the point of religious responsibility.
وَلَا لِبَاسَ
rather,
وَلَا لَبِسَ ثُوبًا أَجْمَلَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ.
And no one has worn a garment more beautiful than knowledge.
لِأَنَّهُ مَعُرِفَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْعَقْلِ.
Because Allah Ta'ala is not known except by means of the intellect.
وَلَا عُتِيعَ
إِلَّا بِالْعِلْمِ. And Allah Ta'ala is not obeyed except with knowledge. How can we obey Allah if we have no knowledge of salah, no knowledge of zakah, no knowledge of siyam, no knowledge of the proper aqidah, etc.? How can we obey Allah? So obedience requires knowledge. There's a poem that one of the scholars made concerning a debate between the intellect and knowledge as to which one was superior. So the poem goes something like this. He says, Rahimahullah,
علم العليم وعقل العاقل اختلفا من ذا الذي منهما قد احرز الشرف فالعلم قال انا احرزت غايته والعقل قال انا الرحمن بي عرف فافصح العلم افصاحا وقال له بأين الله في فرقانه اتصف فبان للعقل أن العلم سيده فقبل العقل رأس العلم وانصرف.
So it says that the knowledge of the scholar and the intellect of the intelligent one differed as to which of them has taken the distinction of being the best. So knowledge said that I am the one that allows you to attain your objective. I'm the one that allows you to worship Allah. And the intellect said, but it's through me that the merciful one is known, that Allah Ta'ala is known. And then ilm, he spoke in the most eloquent of ways, and he said, and he asked, which of us has Allah described himself in his Quran? Allah Ta'ala says he's Al-Aleem, and he doesn't say he's Al-Aqil or Al-Aqil, so Al-Aleem. So intellect, Al-Aql, he realized that knowledge was indeed his master, so intellect kissed knowledge on his head and then left. فَقَبَّلَ الْعَقْلُ رَأْسَ الْعِلْمِ وَانْصَرَفَ. So this poem is a little discussion between the two. But in reality, Sheikh Abdul Fattah, he says that in reality that truly the intellect is the master of knowledge, because if there's no intellect, there can be no knowledge. Wallahu alam. And Allah knows best. So back to the text. Imam Muhasibi then says, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأَهْلَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِاللَّهِ بَنَوْا أُصُولَ الْأَحْوَالِ عَلَى شَاهِدِ الْعِلْمِ. He said, you should know that the people who gained a direct knowledge and experienced knowledge of Allah, they built the principles of their states upon the witnessing of knowledge. In other words, by not proceeding with any ruling, with any matter until they knew the ruling of that, this is what it means. This gave them the quality, the increase in piety, and wara, what's called wara or scrupulousness, until they were able to transcend and elevate above their faults and above the petty things that bog down most human beings, and to attain to a high spiritual station. وَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الْفُرُوعِ. And another of their principles is that they gained a sound knowledge of the sharia. So they based their deep understanding and knowledge of Allah on their cautiousness in deen, to know the ruling before they engage in an action, and upon their knowledge of the sharia, because we have to live our lives according to this law Allah Ta'ala has given us before Allah Ta'ala begins to elevate us. أَلَا تَرَى لِكُولِي. Do you not reflect on the saying of the Prophet? Actually, this is attributed to the Prophet, but investigation reveals that it was said by Isa alayhi salam, and we mentioned this earlier. مَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ وَرَّثَهُ اللَّهُ إِلْمَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. That whoever acts on what he knows, Allah Ta'ala increases or bestows upon him knowledge of that which he does not know. And this is called ilm ladunni. This is direct knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happens all the time to the convert. The convert is sincere, and they read and study a little. Then they're in a really crucial discussion with someone about Islam, and they're defending their faith and trying to explain it. And then things just start coming out. And then if you talk, they'll say, you know, I was explaining something, and I don't know where it was coming from, but just I was saying the right thing, and it just came out. SubhanAllah, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a reward for that person acting on the little bit that they know. And Allah Ta'ala gave them knowledge of that which they knew not. So this is not some mystery or unbelievable concept. وعلامة ذلك هو تزايد العلم بالإشفاق. And the sign of that is that an increase in knowledge brings an increase of reverence and fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person increases in knowledge and becomes careless and complacent and heedless, this is an indication that this person really isn't having tawfiq in what they're studying. It's like an Orientalist. They have tremendous knowledge of Islam, but no tawfiq. It doesn't benefit them in any way. In terms of more fearing of Allah, intensifying their worship, they don't even believe in Allah, some of them. وَمَزِيدُ الْعِلْمِ بِالْاقْتِدَارِ And an increase in knowledge, similarly accompanied by an increase in one's self-control. So the more knowledge we have, the more restrained and composed we should become. فَكُلُّمَا ازْدَادَ عِلْمًا ازْدَادَ خَوْفًا Therefore, every time there's an increase in knowledge, or he increases, the one who has tawfiq and knowledge, he increases in fear. وَكُلَّمَا ازْدَادَ عَمَلًا ازْدَادَ تَوَاضُعًا And every time he increases in his acting on his knowledge, he increases in humility. So all of the great, great scholars, you'll find that they're humble people. They're humble people. You wouldn't even know they're a scholar if you met them on the street. They're because of their humility. There's some of the shuyukh that we've heard about. And they said, when they're in gatherings of other ulama, they didn't say anything. And people are wondering, why are they sitting there? And then if someone asked them something and they spoke, they realized that this is a great alim. But the one, and there's a sheikh in Damascus, Sheikh Shukri, who is a one of the greatest calligraphers in Damascus, and even in the Arab world, he's a master of the 10 canonical readings of the Quran, and he has publications in the 10 readings, but he dresses in a wrinkled up, humble thobe. And he goes around the gatherings in Damascus, where people gather for nasheed or dhikr, and he pours and gives people water to drink. He's the guy that's giving people the water. Sheikh Shukri, a great alim. So no one would know this is one of the great alims of our time. And he's the guy that's giving people water to drink. And not saying a word. He never says a word. Just gives the people the water. So, and a real scholar, every time his knowledge increases, his humility increases. Imam Shafi'i, we know one of the great scholars in the history of the Ummah, he said a verse of poetry, أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ أَنَالُ بِهِمُ الشَّفَاعَةِ He said, I love the righteous people, but I'm not amongst them. That perhaps by my love of them, I will gain their intercession. Because the Salihin are amongst the people who intercede for people on the Day of Judgment. So, subhanAllah. This is how these people were. And we ask Allah that we can be like them. These are our role models. We need role models. These should be our role models. وَالْأَصْلُ الَّذِي بَنَوْا بِهِ فِي طَرِيقِهِمْ إِلْتَزَامُ الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ بِالصِّدْقِ وَتَقْدِيمُ الْعِلْمِ عَلَى حُدُوذِ النُّفُوسِ And he says that the principle, he mentions another principle, the principle that they built their path on was adhering to commanding the good and forbidding the wrong with honesty and truthfulness and putting knowledge before the inclination of their soul. So putting knowledge before the things that their soul desires. So I know this is wrong. I'm not going to do it even though there's something inside me that says do it, do it. I know it's wrong. Based on ilm, I'm not going to do it. I know this is right, But there's something inside of me saying, don't do it, but I'm going to do it anyway because I know it's right. So this is putting the ilm ahead of what he calls huvud, huvud and nufus. The portion that your nafs wants, the satisfaction that your nafs wants out of a situation or out of a matter. So you deny your nafs its portion and you do what's right based on knowledge.
وَالْاِسْتَغْنَاءُ بِاللَّهِ عَنْ جَمِيعَ خَلْقِهِ
And finding self-sufficiency in Allah from that removes you from relying on any of anything in His creation or specifically relying on other human beings. And relying and putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَطْلُبْ أَثَارَ مَنْ زَادُهُ الْعِلْمُ خَشْيَةً
Therefore, try to be like the people, follow the footsteps of the people whose knowledge increased them in humility. Try to follow the footsteps of the people who increased them in fear or awe of Allah rather.
وَالْعَمَلُوا بَصِيرَةً
And their actions increased them in their understanding of the deeper things in life. So a person, you know, is studying, then when you talk to them, they give you insight into situations. They don't just give you what's halal or haram, but they also give you a deeper insight that sheds light on your situation and helps you to be more successful in your life and in your struggle to do the things that are right and wrong, right and avoid the things that are wrong.
وَالْعَقْلُ
مَعْرِفَةً And their intellect increases them in their deeper knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَإِنْ حَجَبَكَ عَنْ مِنْهَاجِهِمْ فَقْدُ الْأَدَبِ فَرْجِعَ بِالذَّمِّ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ
And he says that if you're prevented from following their way because you lack or have lost the adab that's necessary. So everything has its adab. And following the way of these righteous people involves adhering to the adab that they had. So if we lose that adab, we should regain it by condemning ourselves. Because why? The only reason we lost it is because we gave priority to the inclination of our nafs. So we condemn ourselves and we check ourselves and then we try to recommit ourselves to adhering to that, to the adab of these people.
وَلَنْ يُخْفَى عَلَى أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ صِفَةُ الْمُخْلِصِينَ
And that the characteristic of sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be hidden from impression will not be hidden from the people of knowledge. You'll see the people of knowledge and you'll see the sincerity that accompanies them.
He then says, Rahimahullah, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ فِي كُلِّ فِكْرَةٍ أَدَبًا
And you should know that every insight that we have is accompanied by an adequate, or it has an adequate or a manner that accompanies it.
And وَفِي كُلِّ إِشَارَةٍ عِلْمًا
And in every divinely inspired subtlety that we're made aware of, there's a knowledge that gives birth to it. In other words, deeper insights into things only come after adhering to the basic knowledge. So the knowledge of things and then acting on that knowledge is what gives us a deeper insight. One doesn't, the second doesn't precede the first. And similarly, having the adab that's entailed by a situation, the adab of studying, the adab of teaching, adhering to that adab is what bears fruit in the understanding and clarity of thought concerning a particular matter. And this is why people have no adab, they have no deeper spiritual insight. So you see in this society where we say to Allah,
اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا. Oh Allah, don't make this world the extent of our knowledge, nor or our greatest concern, nor the extent of our knowledge. So these people have made the dunya their greatest concern, and it's the extent of their knowledge. So they have no deep spiritual knowledge. They can put a man on the moon. They can split an atom. They can build big bridges and tall skyscrapers. But they can't destroy the urge to drink and to use crack and throw cocaine up your nose in people. They can give no spiritual solace to people. So why? Because their knowledge has become limited to the dunya. So we don't want that as Muslims. Therefore, we pray to Allah in a prayer that's conveyed by a sound hadith, Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya, O Allah, don't make the world akbara hammina, our greatest concern, wa la mablagha ilmina, nor the extent of our knowledge. وإنما يميز ذلك من فهم عن الله عز وجل مراده وجنى فوائد اليقين من خطابه. He says that rather the ones who are able to distinguish this, the truth of this, are those who have some understanding concerning what Allah Ta'ala wants from their life. What does Allah want from us? He wants for us to worship Him. And when we understand this and can distinguish this, then these deeper insights are opened up for us, and we're able to take the fruits of certainty from the things Allah Ta'ala informs us about. And wallahu alam, as this is the exact meaning of this sentence, wajana, for where he harvests, فوائد اليقين من خطابه, and من, he takes the harvest of certainty from his address. So I'm assuming this means the address that Allah Ta'ala gives to us through the Quran and through the Sunnah. Wallahu alam, Allah knows best. وَعَلَامُتُ ذَلِكَ فِي الصَّادِقِ, and what are the signs for this, of this as far as the people of truth are concerned? إِذَا نَظَرَ اِعْتَبَرَ, if a person is truthful, when they look upon something, they contemplate. So everything we see, we contemplate. And that contemplation leads us to the conclusion, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. So we look at the sky and we see the clouds and how they're moving, how they're formed and how they're held aloft, how they convey the rain to us. We say, La ilaha illallah. We look at the sun, the beauty of the bright blue sky. We look at the mountains, the trees, the intricacy of it. We look at a little insect, a little ant, and see how that little ant is more complicated than a big machine that we can build. And everything we look at, we contemplate, and that reflection leads us to one conclusion, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. So when they look upon something, they contemplate. This is a truthful person. وَإِذَا صَمَتَ تَفَكَّرَ, and when they fall silent, they reflect. So our silence is reflection. Our silence is an empty daydreaming. It's reflection. وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمَ ذَكَرَ, and when they speak, they remember Allah. So we don't speak without reflecting on what we say. So our speech becomes a form of dhikr. So every time we open our mouth, it's a form of dhikr. As we mentioned earlier, this was the state of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what we should strive for. So when we open our mouth, we're praising Allah. We're giving sincere advice. We're commanding the good and forbidding the wrong. We're reciting the Quran. We're trying to cheer someone up. And all of these things become dhikr. Or our speech reminds other people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا مُنِعَ صَبَرًا, and if Allah denies us something, we patiently persevere with the hardship that denial entails. So we didn't get that job. And so therefore, we are in a slightly impoverished state. We persevere with the hardships of that poverty with dignity and self-respect. We don't start begging and panicking and, well, I'll just take any job. I know there's pork and alcohol in this store, but I need money. No, we persevere and we endure. The hardships that are entailed by our being denied something. Some of the people said, one of the people was asked, sometimes it said is Ibrahim al-Adham, one of the early pious people of this ummah, that he was asked by, they say, Shaqiq al-Balqi, or a boy from Balq, from one of the cities in the around the shores of the Caspian Sea. So he was asked, what are the otherworldly people like with you? And he responded, Ibrahim al-Adham, he responded and said, Zuhad indana, the otherworldly people indana, with us, إِذَا مُنِعَ صَبَرَ, when they're denied something, they patiently persevere with the hardships that not denial entails. وَإِذَا أُعْطِيَ شَكَرَ, and if they're given something, or وَإِذَا أُعْطُوا شَكَرَ, if they're giving something, they thank Allah. So this boy, he said, that's the state of the dogs in our town. So if a dog, if you give him a bone, he thanks you, he's happy. And if you don't give him a bone, he just is patient. He just lays there and waits for the bone. So he says, that's how the dogs are with us. He said, the otherworldly people with us, either munia shakara. He said, the otherworldly people with us, when they're denied something, they thank Allah. Because they know being denied, this is a blessing. So they thank Allah for this blessing. They don't have to be given account of how they use that blessing. They don't have to deal with the fitna that blessing might entail. You're given money, here come all your new relatives. Well, I didn't know you were my cousin. SubhanAllah, you didn't know that? Shouldn't have got all his money. So he says they give thanks, and if they are given something, وَإِذَا أُعْتُوا أَثَرُوا, if they're given something, they give preference to other people. They give it to someone else. They give preference to others. He said, this is the state of the otherworldly people with us. So he says, here, if they're denied, they patiently persevere the hardship entail. وَإِذَا أُعْطِيَ شَكَرًا, and if they're given something, they thank Allah for that. And this is a desirable state. This is not, as we said, the dogs. This, so he was just emphasizing a higher state, but this is a desirable state. Because most people don't give thanks for their blessings. Like here, people make $1 million and you just, brother, we need $10,000 to build this mosque. $10,000, you know, can't you find a cheaper mosque? Or, you know, ask someone else, I have obligations, you think it's easy being rich? You know, as he goes to pay down on his new Lexus. He couldn't deal with having a 98, so he had to have a 2000 because he wanted it to be his millennial vehicle or millennium vehicle. So keep your old car. You paid off the note, which you shouldn't have had in the first place. So now Allah has freed you from the river. Give us some money to the masjid, to the students, to help them invite speakers and engage in their activities. And there's no shukr for a lot of people. And we ask Allah that He doesn't make us like that. And He helps people who are like that to escape from this state. And when they're afflicted with a trial, they say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." This is istirja, to say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." So, fa idha ibtuliya istirja. When they're afflicted, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna Allah, we belong to Allah. He can do with us whatever He pleases. It's all good.
وَإِذَا جُهِلَ عَلَيْهِ حَلُمَا
When someone acts ignorant with them, they forbear. They don't get engaged in arguments and dispute with ignorant people. So someone does something that's ignorant. And when we were growing up, we used to say, like, you're acting ignorant. Why are you acting ignorant? Ignorant. You know, why are you going to act so ignorant, brother? You just lighten up. Because, you know, give me a break. So when a Muslim, a Halim, someone acts ignorant, he just forbears. We don't argue back. This is ignorance. And when we step back from it, we see it as ignorance. So he just has forbearance. وَإِذَا عَلِمَ تَوَاضَعَ
And when he gains knowledge, he humbles himself.
And we need this teaching because knowledge arrogates. One reason people are so at each other's head and fighting and this, you're an innovator, you're a deviant, you're this, you're the deviant, you're the innovator. And all of these are the students of knowledge because there's no humility. So the knowledge arrogates and there's nothing or no one to push the person back down, to push their head down to its rightful size. Just bring that head back in here. Okay? Stable. Stay. So we need that though. And the tulab of ilm need that. That's why the knowledge or the program of study that doesn't have a lot of dhikr and a lot of Quran and have righteous people involved who can remind the person not to become like that, it's not a total and complete program. And we have a lot of incomplete programs going on nowadays.
وَإِذَا عَلَّمَ رَفَقَ
And when he teaches with gentleness and softness. So the teacher has to be gentle. A teacher can't be overbearing and harsh because this is not the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this does not facilitate the knowledge taking root in the heart. Because the heart has to be open. The person has to love their teacher. And their love for their teacher opens up their heart to receiving the knowledge. But if the teacher is harsh and strict and overbearing, there's a revulsion in the heart. And so the pathways of knowledge are closed off. So the good teacher doesn't close off the pathways of knowledge. A good teacher opens them up with his kindness and mercy.
وَإِذَا سُعِلَ بَدَلَ
And if he's asked, he exerts himself in giving an answer. Just off the top of my head, well, yeah, just do that. Just do that. Just get out of here, plan. See, I'm reading a book. No, he exerts himself, you know, let me look into it, and he's looking in the books to give a good, sound, solid answer that benefits the questioner.
شَفَاءٌ لِلْقَاسِدِ
He's a cure for the people that seek him out. This is the real, honest, truthful believer. Someone seeks you out. They need help. You know, they call you up 2 a.m. They need help. So he says he's a source of cure for the people that seek him out.
وَعَوْنٌ لِلْمُسْتَرْشِدِ
And a source of support for those who seek guidance from him.
حَلِيفُ صِدْقٍ
He's a truthful ally. And we should all try it. If someone seeks support through us, we should be truthful to them.
وَكَفُّ بِرٍّ
He's a repository of righteousness. You see, all these good qualities accumulated in these people as if they're stored up in a cave, literally a cave of righteousness.
قَرِيبُ الرِّضَى فِي حَقِّ نَفْسِهِ
He's easy, and this is a huge characteristic that people are trying to elevate spiritually, have to attain to, that he is easy to please when his own right is at stake. And he never demands full right when his own right's at stake, easy to please. So you owe me $5, I don't hound you and
If you give it to me, as long as I don't really need it, I won't even ask you about it. But when someone else's right is at stake, he exerts his utmost to deliver their right as soon and as fully as possible. So he owes someone $5 as soon as he gets it, even if he can't eat a solid meal that day. Here's the money I owe you. And this is the righteous. So someone owes him money, he doesn't even mention it. He doesn't track them down and call them up and write them letters. And he just, as long as he doesn't need it, he forgets it. So this is easy to please concerning the right that he has. But he's strict in giving other people the right that he owes to them. بَعِيدٌ هِمَّتِي فِي حَقِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And he has a high aspiration in giving Allah Ta'ala the right he knows to owes to Allah Ta'ala, the right of worship, the right of sincere devotion, the right of truthfulness in the covenant he's taken to Allah. So he has a high spiritual aspiration. And Allah Ta'ala loves that. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved that. He said that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved lofty things and he hated petty things. So in all of our work and activity, we should aspire for big things. We should aspire for big things. We should reach for the stars. And if we get the moon, that's okay. But if we never look up from the ground, what are we? We're like the pig, right? The pig, he can't look up from the ground. And maybe this is one reason that his flesh is forbidden for us. Because you are what you eat. And that if we eat the pig, we'll have low dunyawi aspirations. So, because we can't look up. So, we look up and we have lofty aspirations. We want to reach the stars and not be trapped on the earth. نِيَّتُهُ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ. His intention is better than his action. So, his intention is pure. And it is, his intention is lofty, even if his action doesn't measure up. He tries to pull it up. وَعَمَلُهُ أَبْلَغُ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ. And his action is deeper and stronger than his speech. And so we want to be the people of speech, of action, not speech, empty talk. مَوْتَنُهُ الْحَقِّ. His homeland is the truth. In other words, wherever the truth is to be found, that's where we want to be found. We want to be in our homeland. We want to be amongst our loved ones. So he says his homeland is the truth. That's where he wants to always be found. We never want to be found in the land of falsehood. We always want to be on every issue and everything we do, we want to be with the truth and with the people of truth. So that's our homeland. وَمَعْكِلُهُ مَعْكِلُهُ الْحَيَاءِ. And his sanctuary is modesty. His sanctuary is modesty. So we are people of modesty and people of shyness. We're not overbearing, for lack of a better word, bodacious people. People who are overbearing and force themselves on people, always have to be the loudest, the most visible, the center of attention. We're the people that shy away from the limelight and don't want to be in the limelight necessarily. وَمَعْلُومُهُ الْوَرَى. And his knowledge is something that's associated with his desire to be very exacting in adhering to the law of Islam. وَشَاهِدُهُ الثَّقَى. His testimony is his trustworthiness. That when someone bears witness, the greatest witness they bear for us, that we're trustworthy. لَهُ بَصَائِرُ مِنَ النُّورِ يُبْصِرُ بِهَا. He has a deeper realization of things, and this is the light that guides him through this life. So we don't move through life based on looking at the superficialities of things. Then we become shallow people. but we try to look at the deeper meanings of things, then we're not, the superficialities, they don't knock us off track. Because, you know, Allah has tested me like this. So we look at the surface, this is wrong, how could this happen to me? And we're complaining against Allah Ta'ala. But we look at the deeper meaning. No, what lesson is Allah Ta'ala trying to teach me? And then we start looking and then we see and it manifests. Then this thing that we perceived at first to be very ugly and undesirable becomes very beautiful. We say, SubhanAllah, if this never happened, I never would have attained to this deeper level in my Islam. But this forced me to think and to come to grips with certain things and to humble myself, and this elevated me as a Muslim. وَحَقَائِكُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ يَنْطِقُ مِنْهَا. And he has a deeper understanding of the deeper truths, and this is brought about by his knowledge, and then, or rather, there are deeper truths and deeper understandings that he expresses, and this is a fruit of his knowledge. وَدَلَائِلُ مِنَ الْيَقِينِ يُعَبِّرُ عَنْهَا. And he has indications or subtle understandings of things that come about as a result of his absolute certainty concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's able to express these things. So some people feel that there's something really profound that they'd like to say, but they can't express it or can't find the words. But for some people, Allah Ta'ala unlocks their hearts because of their absolute certainty concerning Allah and their absolute certainty concerning their meeting with Allah Ta'ala. So that puts their life in a whole different light, and that unlocks these mysteries, and they're able to express them. And then he says, Rahimahullah, وَإِنَّمَا يُوَاصَلُ بِذَلِكَ مَنْ جَاهَدَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى نَفْسَهُ. He says, and these he attains to and then remains in this state of being able to express these deeper meanings and being able to come to these deeper realizations because he struggled against himself for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. He struggled against himself for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So he wasn't satisfied, or she wasn't satisfied with the state they found themselves in. But instead, I'm not happy getting up for Fajr once a week. So that person starts to struggle. They get two alarm clocks and set them at slightly different times and put them in different places out of their reach to struggle to get up. And or take other measures, and then because they struggle with themselves, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy. And He gives them and blesses them with these states, or the fruits of these states. وَاسْتَقَامَتْ لِطَاعَتِهِ نِيَتُهُ. And he makes his niyyah upright. Why? Because of his obeying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. His niyyah, because of his obedience, becomes upright. So he's obeying Allah and working to get close to Allah. So his niyyah becomes pure and pure and pure as time moves on. وَخَشْيَ اللَّهَ فِي سِرِّهِ وَعَلَانِيَتِهِ. And he fears Allah secretly and openly. There's no inconsistency in his action. The way he prays in the privacy of his own home is the way he prays in the masjid. The way that he speaks in the privacy of his home is the way he speaks in public. So he's not like the person, you know, that, this is an exaggeration to make an example. He's in public, you know, he's very mannerable to the secretary of the MSA because he doesn't want to be perceived as a chauvinistic Muslim bully. You know, sister, please, you know, we can make a place for you to pray. And, you know, you don't have to wait until you go home. I'll leave the office and you can have privacy. You can pray here. And very nice and mannerable. Then goes home,
where's my dinner? What's, you know, it's 5 minutes late. I've been working all day. I'm exhausted. Come home, no dinner.
So this person that is striving for a higher state, his actions in public and private are consistent. So he fears Allah in private and in public. And this is a high state. And it's a difficult state to attain to and to be totally consistent. وَقَصَرَ الْأَمَلِ And he cuts short his hope. He doesn't expect to live long and I have time and years to do all these wonderful things. فِيسَبِلِلَّهِ We should start now. As Sheikh Hussein emphasized yesterday, what are we waiting for? We should start now because tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. So he cut short his hope. وَشَمَّرَ مِعْزَرَ الْحَضَرِ And he gets serious about his work by being careful in what he does. So he's no longer careless. When he starts to attain to these stations, he doesn't act in a haphazard, careless way without consideration of the consequences of his actions, what they will lead to, how they will affect people. He becomes very careful. And this is a very high level of Arabic. If some of you know Arabic and are following, that's why the translation is a little more difficult. He says, وَشَمْرَ مِتْسَرَ الْحَضَرِ There's a lot of similes and parables and allegories involved here. Literally this means he tightens the belt of cautiousness. In other words, like شَمْرَ is when you roll up your sleeves to get ready to get down to work. You say, شَمْرَ فِي الْأَمْرِ He rolled up his sleeves and got serious. So and mitzar is the belt. So yani shaddid or shamra mitzar, he tightened the belt. In other words, he didn't want his garments to slip off because now he's increasing his activity. So he becomes more diligent in being careful and thinking about the consequences of what he does and what he says. وَأَقْلَعَ Now this is a beautiful وَأَقْلَعَ بِرِيحِ النَّجَاتِ فِي بَحْرِ الْإِبْتِهَالِ And he says that he sets sail through the seas of exertion with the winds of devotion blowing at his back. So he sets off in the sea of exertion with the wind of salvation at his back. So he finds that his desire to be saved and to be amongst the people who will be in the Jannah and be in the paradise, this pushes him to strive and exert himself totally for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَوْقَاتُهُ غَنِيمًا Then all of his time become a source of enrichment for him. He doesn't waste his time anymore. As we said, نِعْمَةً مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ Two blessings most people are cheated out of, their free time and their health and their spare time. So now all of his time, when he gets this awareness and he gets this seriousness and he gets down to work or she gets down to work, all of his time now becomes a source of enrichment for him that enriches him and gives him more and more ajr and thawab to meet Allah with. وَأَحْوَالُهُ سَلِيمًا And then all of his states become safe and secure at this point. So there are no states that he finds himself in where he's undermining his spiritual progress. All of his states are sound at this point. لَمْ يَخْطَرَ بِزُخْرَفِ دَارُ الْغُرُورِ And he's not deceived by the glitter and the adornment of this abode of deception. This world is a deception. Why? All of these nice things here, it deceives us from the reality that we're headed for a day of reckoning. And that all of these nice things, they're not to be enjoyed indiscriminately. They're not to be enjoyed, but they're to be used. and to appreciate it to help us gain the akhirah.
وَلَمْ يَلْهُ بِبَرِيقِ سَرَابِ نَسِيمِهَا عَنْ أَهْوَالِ يَوْمِ النُّشُورِ.
And he says he's not deceived or distracted by the glitter of the mirage of the gentle breezes of this dunya from the horrors of the day of resurrection. So, subhanAllah, like the way he uses the language, he mentions a very beautiful statement, and then, boom, he wakes us up to a reality. And this is emphasizing how we should be in this world. He says, in very nice ways, he's not the وَلَمْ يَلْهُ بِبَرِيقِ بِبَرِيقِ سَرَابِ نَسِيمِهَا, that he's not deceived by the glitter and the glow of the mirage of the gentle breezes of this world. So these are these niceties from the horrors of the day of resurrection. So these don't deceive him.
وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْعَاقِلَ لَمَّا صَحَّ عِلْمُهُ وَثَبَتَ يَقِينُهُ عَلِمَ أَنْ لَا يُنْجِيهُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الصِّدْقِ.
So the you should know that the intelligent person, once his knowledge has been made sound, and once his certainty has been firmly established that there's Allah is real, the day of resurrection is real, the hellfire is real, then he knows that nothing will save him with his Lord except his honesty. And that's why the people of, they say, what is the whole spirit, the essence of the spiritual path in Islam? They say, sidqut tawajjuh ila Allah. To orientating yourself sincerely towards Allah. That's it. Orientating yourself sincerely towards Allah Ta'ala. And he says this is the only thing that will save him with his Lord. فَسَعَى فِي طَلَبِهِ. And then he strives in his request for Allah. We want Allah. And he's serious about this. And he strives for this.
وَبَحَثَ عَنْ أَخْلَاقِ أَهْلِهِ رَغْبَةً فِي أَنْ يَحْيَى قَبْلَ مَمَاتِهِ.
And then he searches for the manners of the people who are loved by Allah and the people who are close to Allah. He wants their character. He wants the akhlaq out of his desire that he can be brought to life before he dies. So that his heart can be brought to life before his physical death, so that he can have everlasting life. As they say, mutu qabla mautikum, die before your death. That we die in terms of pursuing our carnal appetites, being creatures and slaves of our hawa, slaves of our nafs. And then we have life. And if this occurs before our physical death, we have a chance for salvation. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll make dua. And we pray that Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq, and we pray that we've been able to convey this message, because this part of the book is a very high standard of Arabic, and we pray that we've been able to convey it accurately. Make dua. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'ana wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana. O Allah, teach us that which benefits us and benefit us with that which you teach us. Wazidna 'ilman wa 'amalan mutaqabbilan, and increase us in knowledge and increase us in acceptable actions. Khalisan li wajhika al-kareem, and we ask this strictly for your sake alone. Subhanaka lahum bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. This dua we make at the end of a majlis called dua to close kitman al majlis. Why? Because qitam al majlis, to close the majlis. We seek forgiveness from Allah if we've offended someone with what we've said, and we turn to him in repentance.
for our misdeeds and our mistakes. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Glorified are you, O Allah, and all praise is yours. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. I bear witness there is no God except you. Astaghfiruka, I seek your forgiveness. Wa atubu ilayk, and turn to you in repentance. Wa jazakumullah khayran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.